God, indeed, we celebrate today because He is risen from the dead. And our heart sings with joy, for without Christ there is no joy. And because of that, we join the psalmist and we say, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Lord our God, we quiet our hearts as we come into Your marvelous presence this morning. And Lord Jesus, You have been raised from the dead. You know what it is to be alive and dead and alive again forevermore. We thank You for that. We thank You as we think of that extraordinary scene that the women saw on that first Easter morning. As they came to the tomb to anoint Your body, but You weren't there. And we thank You, O Lord, this morning that Christ is risen from the dead. And we thank You, O Lord, as we ponder the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and with power by the resurrection from the dead, He gives us life. He gives us hope. We thank You that it signals to us victory. Victory over death, over the grave. We thank You that in union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, the curse of Edom, the curse of Adam's first transgression is undone. We thank You that He bore the sting of death. That since by man came death, and also by man came the resurrection from the dead. For all in Adam die, so all in Christ shall be made alive. And we thank You that the resurrection signals to us a guarantee of our justification. That all our sins, though they be red like crimson, have been dealt with and have been punished to the full in Christ. So that in union with the risen Christ, sin can never again condemn us. We thank You that in Christ, we have a right relationship with You, our Father in heaven. He is our substitute. He is our sin bearer. And He, in His resurrection, Lord, signals to us that You have fully accepted all that He did on our behalf. And raising Him from the dead as a signal that everything He did was perfect. We thank You, O Lord, that in the resurrection of Christ, we have the prospect of new life. For Christ is the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in Him, though he were dead, shall he live. And that he lives and believes in Him shall never die. We thank You, O Lord, that we have this absolute assurance. Because if Christ is not raised, our faith is in vain. And we're still dead in our sins. But we thank You, O Lord, that His resurrection promises to those who respond to Him in faith and by grace that we too shall rise. We shall rise from our graves. We shall rise with new resurrection bodies to live in the new heavens and new earth. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we bless you this morning for this astonishing, this marvelous assurance that is ours in union with Christ. That we are your children. We are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Lord, may the joy and assurance and privileges of union with the resurrected Christ fill our Lords here today. And we ask all of this in the precious name of our risen Savior, Jesus, and all God's children said, amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I know this isn't a traditional Easter passage, but it's one that's very powerful and one that has absolutely to do with the resurrection. So we're going to be looking particularly at verses 3 through 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1. But we're really going to look at the end of verse 3. You know, people can't live without hope. But what do we hope in? And what we hope in will determine whether we have real life or a shameful substitute. What you hope in determines the quality of your life. Now, Peter has something to say to us about hope. As you know, Paul was characterized as the apostle of faith. And John is characterized as the apostle of love. Yet, Peter is characterized as the apostle of hope. Peter was a man who knew both about false hope and true hope. He's a man who knew what it feels like to be hopeless and then to be given new and true hope. Thus, he has something to say to us today about hope. So let's pray together, and then we're going to take a look at this wonderful scripture. Lord, you had Peter write these things down over 19 centuries ago. But Peter himself tells us that these words are ultimately not his words. They are the Holy Spirit's words written through him. They're God's words for us. And we need your words, O Lord, and your words have never failed us. They're both true and good. So, Lord, open our eyes this Easter Sunday to behold them and to understand them and to believe them and to walk in them. And we lift this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Again, we're going to be reading 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through the faith for a salvation already to be revealed in the last time. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning, and may He speak to us through His truth. Some of you here today, and you may be thinking, if only I were a better Christian, you wouldn't be having the problems that you're having in your life. Your hope is, if I could just be a better Christian, things would get better. But here's some bad news for you. If that's where you are, your hope's in the wrong place. Peter in this passage says there's only one place for the Christian hope. And it's not that things are hard now, it may get easier. That things are bad and now will get better. that the problems that are weighing us down now will go away. That's not where he says that we get our hope from. Our hope comes from someplace else. And many of us might be tired and frustrated and disappointed and fearful or confused or angry or bitter or defeated without hope. And you're looking for some hope somewhere, but you're looking in the wrong place. Well, there's some good news for you. It may not be the good news that you're expecting, but there's good news for you. John Piper said, "I love the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, not because they turn my life into a string of successes, but because they keep me from collapsing under a string of failures." So if you're tired and frustrated and disappointed and fearful and confused and angry and bitter and defeated and without hope, here's some good news. Here's some good words of God that are given to us here this morning. And those words are anchored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this passage and especially zero in on the second part of verse 3, which again read, "Who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And let us ask and answer, what does Peter mean? And what does that mean for me and you? Well, let's look closely at what Peter says here. Peter says that according to His great mercy, God the Father has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at three things that Peter says here very clearly. First of all, he tells us that God, our Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, has graciously done something for us. Look at the first phrase. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. In other words, Peter can't get away from the realization of the graciousness, of the mercifulness, of the loving kindness of God the Father. He's overflowing with a sense of how kind and how loving and how gracious and how merciful God the Father is. Is this how you think of God when you run into those places in your marriage, in your work, with your children or parents, or in life in general? When once again you seem to be just rounding the corner, things seem to be getting better, and then your knees are taken out from under you and you fall flat on your back. Is your first thought, "Lord, You always do this. I'm that far from getting things better, and You do this to me. Why do You do this to me?" Now, you may not say it out loud, but we do think that, don't we? And Peter's saying that if that's how you think of God the Father, you don't know Him. He's more gracious than you could possibly comprehend. He's merciful. He's kind. He's all the good things that I'm about to tell you. Flow from His grace and mercy and kindness. And second, look at what Peter says. He has given us a new hope. Listen to the words. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. We were hopeless, and now we have hope. We don't just have our own hope, but we have a new hope. A hope isn't some sort of generic, wishful, sad hope that things will turn out in the end. It's a living hope. It's a life-changing, a life-restoring, a life-reforming, a life-transforming hope. And Peter knew something about that. Peter had lost hope in two things in his life. He had lost hope in this world. He had lost hope also in himself. And maybe Peter was a God-fearing Jew who came under the ministry and the discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him all around Palestine. And like many God-fearing Jews of his time, he longed for the day when God's Messiah would appear and would make everything right. He would kick out those filthy Gentile Romans out of Israel, kick them out. And he would set up a godly rule under David, and righteousness would flow throughout the land. And the word of God would be obeyed, and the Messiah would be worshipped. But Jesus had been crucified by those Romans. And Peter had seen it. And he had lost all hope. And he went back to being a fisherman. And Peter had lost hope in himself because while Jesus was being tried on the night before his crucifixion, Peter denied him, not once, not twice, but three times. And on the third time, he looked Jesus right in the eye as he made that denial. He knew the truth about himself, and it wasn't pretty. And he had lost hope. And then suddenly, on Sunday morning, after the morning after the crucifixion, some women came back to Jerusalem and said to the disciples, "You know, the weirdest thing just happened. We went to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body, and he wasn't there. And an angel told us that he was alive. Could this be?" And you know the story. John and Peter go flying to that tomb. John gets there first, but when Peter gets there, he goes into the tomb first. And that shouldn't be a surprise, because he was without hope. He was looking for hope wherever he could find it. And for the first time in his life, he was looking in the right place. We knew it took Peter some time, but eventually Peter's life was changed because of the new hope that he had been given. So when he talks about this, he's not talking about something that he doesn't understand himself fully. And where does he say that hope comes from? Look again at verse 3. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's through Jesus' resurrection. His resurrection has changed everything. That's where our hope is. The Christian hope isn't found if we have good enough if we're good enough Christians or good enough marriages, or we treat our kids right, or they respect us in a way and we're not so grouchy to them when they do, and business is going to be busting at the seams and we're all going to be making all kinds of money and we're going to have all the friends we want, we're going to be able to go where we want, when we want, and how we want all the time. That's not the Christian hope. The Christian hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in our resurrection of His resurrection. Listen to what he says in verse 4. "Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This is an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you." In another translation, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, Peter is saying your hope is not here. It's in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that guarantees your future resurrection. And all the blessings that you're looking for are intimately connected to the resurrection. It won't be experienced apart from them. So what does that mean for you? It means this. You have a life-changing, life-giving hope. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you trust Him, and you listen to those words, who through faith are shielded by God's power, these things are being kept for you by God's power through faith. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you have a hope that nobody can touch or take away. Because it's unfading, it's imperishable, and it's undefiled, and it's kept in heaven for you. And God is guarding it for you. And no one can mess with that hope. No one can take it away. No circumstance in life can increase or diminish it. It is absolutely impervious to anything that happens in this life. That is your hope. And your joy and your usefulness in this life is tied to your apprehension of that hope. If your hope is not set on that, then your joy will be diminished now. And your usefulness will be diminished now. Listen to what John Piper continues to say. Your final healing is as far away as your resurrection from the dead. Now that can sound like some very depressing news because some of you are still looking for healing now. We're saying, Lord, it's been hard. I like things to get a little easier. Or we might say, Lord, it's been bad, and I like things to get a little better. Peter's saying that's not where your hope is. For some of you, things have been hard. In God's kindness, they will get better. They will get a little easier. And for some of you, things have been bad, and they'll improve. But for some others, they might get worse. But no matter where we are in those three categories, that's not where our hope is. Our hope is not diminished if things are good or if they get worse. That's not where our hope is. Our final healing doesn't come until the resurrection of the dead. And that's not all that John Piper says. Listen to the rest of the sentence. Your final healing is as far away as your resurrection from the dead. However, your inconvincible joy of hope is as close as the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But that hope bears the fruit of joy now. That resurrection then is life-giving now. Which means you could throw yourself into life. You could know that the defeats that you're going to experience in this life, and intensely personal and painful as they may be, that they are not the final word. And there is a final victory that awaits. And you know the success of a life, however wonderful they might be, are not your final hope and blessing. And so you can throw yourself into this life serving and loving and giving and know that this is not my final hope. My hope is at the resurrection. And that allows me to pursue this life with love and joy now. Knowing that no matter what happens, nothing could take away my hope, because nothing can take away the resurrection, because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Is that where your hope is, Christian? Are you like me, always looking for an interim hope? Always looking for something now, in my own time, in my own condition, in my own circumstances, that we can cling to, that it's going to be the thing that gets us through? Our final healing is as far away as the resurrection from the dead. Have you had your hope in the wrong place? Christian, it will rob you of joy. It will rob you of usefulness if your hope is in the wrong place. But if your hope is in the resurrection, it will give you the joy and the energy to live life now, no matter what the successes and defeats are, no matter what the blessings and the trials are. Because you know in the end, neither the good things nor the bad things that you have the final word, because your hope is waiting. It's stored up. It's kept. It's in heaven. And you won't see it until the last day. How about those who aren't trusting in Jesus? Maybe you're here this morning because of family. You had to come. It's Easter Sunday dinner that you're really interested in, but you had to come. You're stuck. Is there any good news for you? Not if your hope is where it is because you're not trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you know how the Apostle Paul describes you in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 12? He says, you are without hope and without God in this world. That's where you are without Jesus. You're without hope. There is no hope. So if your hope is in this life, sorry, not only do you not have real hope, you don't even have meaning. Because the bad things happen, what do they mean? They mean nothing. Whereas with the believer, God wastes nothing of hard things. They're designed to increase our ultimate joy and victory. And nothing that we experience now is meaningless. And nothing will be wasted. And I know there's some of you here today that need to know that, because you're looking at things in your life and you're shaking your head and you're saying, I just don't know. And Peter's saying, believer, you can believe in invincible joy now. Not because things are good or things are going to get better, but because your hope is in the resurrection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by your grace, keep us from putting our hope in the wrong place. By your grace, make us trust in Jesus for his resurrection and ours. To be the place where alone we look for the final healing. And until then, you call some of us to a life that will be a permanent struggle. Difficulties at work, hardships in our relationships with parents and children and husbands and wife, and loneliness and sacrifice and struggles with health. But none of these things will you allow to have the last word. Because that's not where our hope is. And where our hope is, no one can touch it. Lord, help us to believe that. And help us to realize how joy-giving and life-transforming that hope truly is. And Jesus, we thank you for your provision of that hope through your resurrection. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.